Today's audio cast for Friday, June 2nd, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News. Coming up, we'll recap the highlights of AvWeb's Thursday edition. But first, AvWeb's Mary Grady talks with Jim Bass, who took over as CEO at New Piper Aircraft last September. Shortly, he'll give us an update on the company's recovery from recent challenges and a glimpse at the future. But first, let's get to know Jim a little.
I have had over 30 years of engineering and manufacturing positions. I started off at General Electric Corporation, primarily in the aerospace industry, and worked for GE for about 15 years, and then went to Sony Corporation for 7 years. After Sony Corporation, I became the CEO of Suntron Corporation, which was primarily making product for commercial aviation and included things such as the ground proximity sensors, collision avoidance systems, and flight control computers. So virtually most of my career has been connected with or somehow associated with aviation in some way, shape, or form. By education, I'm an engineer and have just recently moved to Vero Beach with my family and really enjoy the position here and bringing some very, very exciting and interesting things to just a fantastic business.
And are you a pilot yourself?
I'm not a pilot. It is, though, a passion of mine. I do enjoy flying. I've always enjoyed the industry, but I do not have a pilot's license. It's something that I would like to do. There's certainly a lot to do here, a lot of challenges, but as I said earlier, a tremendous number of opportunities.
I know you've had the hurricanes there. There was a union conflict. There were some issues with the crankshaft recalls. And what's the status on all that right now?
Well, our facility is fully up and running. All of the damage from the hurricanes have been repaired. We are running a full operation without any inhibition from either a plant capacity standpoint or a manpower standpoint. We have over 1,000 associates who are busy building planes. The future looks very exciting to us. The existing facilities that we have here have been hardened, and we think they're virtually bomb-proof. Actually, the facilities that we're now using to build our planes are all concrete, steel-reinforced buildings, which we think can withstand the best of what Mother Nature can throw at us. We've got a beautiful campus, 88 acres, on an active airport that we use to constantly do our product development and flight testing. We're pretty proud of our facility here, a great staff, and we think we've got some just terrific, exciting plans for the future.
Seems like you've got your current product line kind of up to date as far as everything's all glass now and et cetera. So what is coming online for the future?
Well, we're always looking at enhancements to our product line. For us, that means taking a look at full fuel payload, speed, our cabin size, range in nautical miles, as well as a number of other features such as advanced avionics and more ergonomic cockpits, better lighting systems, and just continuing to enhance the product in a way that makes flying easier, safer, and more economical for our customers. We think a great value right now, and we're trying to every day enhance that value. It's a very competitive marketplace, and we're trying to always stay one step ahead of everybody.
We've heard that Cessna is working on kind of a new model that would be sort of a new from scratch single engine piston plane for them, and I wonder if you have anything like that in mind.
You know, I can't speak to some of the product development comments by our competitors. However, we are working on a number of new designs. And one of the things that we've done in the past, and that's something I'm very proud of, is that when we make a commitment to the marketplace, by golly, we hit those dates. And we do not just chum the water in the marketplace just to kind of whip up, you know, interest. We like to make definitive statements that we're going to hit those type of commitments when we go public with something. But we're not prepared today to make any definitive or specific announcements about a brand new airframe or a new product, but you can bet we're very, very diligently working on them, but we're not prepared to go out with a public statement about what we're going to do today. But when we do, you can bet your last dollar that we'll do it.
And I suppose the same answer would go for any rumors about a jet in the future.
The VLJ market is something that we're keenly interested in. It's something that we're looking at very, very closely. And I think I stated earlier that we will be announcing our VLJ strategy as a company sometime this year. We break the market up into about four or five distinct segments. Those segments tend to be at the low end, maybe the trainer or hobbyist. And then the next would be maybe low-end business and personal use. And then more at the high end, we would see the high-end business personal, which might include turboprops, and that's just getting into just at the bottom end of the VLJ market. As it relates to the bottom end, you know, we have a full lineup of different models, as well as in the low end in personal aircraft, which typically are your 4 to 6 seat piston-driven unpressurized planes. There's certainly a lot of competition in those areas, and we think the consumer has a wide array of choices with different performance levels and prices for the consumer to pick from. That's a pretty tough competitive landscape. In the higher end or middle to higher end, of course, we have the Saratoga, Mirage, and Meridian. And I think those offer exceptional value and performance. And I think that's maybe, in some cases, a little less crowded in terms of competition. If we look at the growth of the industry, we see that the lower end probably not growing as fast as the middle to the upper end of the market, both in terms of numbers and in terms of revenue dollars. So we will probably tend to focus more on the areas that we think are going to grow a little bit faster rather than areas which will be perhaps a little bit more static in the next 5 to 10 years.
And is there anything on the horizon just for Oshkosh?
We don't have any pre-announcements prior to Oshkosh. From my perspective, I've been here a little bit more than 6 months. I've just really enjoyed the people I've met in the industry. I'm having a great time meeting some wonderful people, and I have a great job because I deal with people who are very passionate about this industry, and I'm just excited to be here and appreciate the opportunity to add to an already great field.
And thanks a lot.
Okay, Mary.
You've been listening to an in-depth interview with Jim Bass, the new CEO at New Piper, by FWeb's Mary Grady. In AvWeb's Thursday edition, we reported that the 2005 Cessna 172S that shed its propeller in Florida last week had a crankshaft failure. The National Transportation Safety Board said the crankshaft was fractured inside the crankcase at the oil transfer tube location. The pilot was able to return to the airport and land safely on a taxiway. Daria Fish, spokeswoman for Lycoming, said it's too early to tell if the fracture was secondary to some other cause. She also said the fracture did not involve the same part of the crankshaft that was the subject of prior incidents. The 172 had less than 400 hours total time. Lycoming is assisting the NTSB in the investigation. For NATCA, the union that represents air traffic controllers, the clock is ticking. June 5th is the deadline for Congress to act, or else the FAA's proposed contract will be imposed on the union. Several bills are in the works in Congress that would derail the FAA's plan, and NATCA's lobbying efforts are at full force. John Carr, president of NATCA, says a majority of Congress wants the FAA to restore fairness and accountability to the bargaining process. They have until Monday to act on that conviction, and if they don't, according to NATCA, the consequence of this extends to economic loss, loss of efficiency, and unfortunately compromises in safety for the entire system. Helicopters are increasingly in demand around the world and nowhere more than in the North Sea. With oil prices surging worldwide, rig operators are ramping up production and running up against a shortage of helicopters, pilots to fly them, and mechanics to take care of them. Jim Ferguson, an aviation journalist, told a reporter that the industry itself must share some blame for the situation. The industry has a history of laying people off at times of bust, he said. It's now boom, 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 and the people are just not available. They would far rather fly rich folk around in their executive helicopters than fly in the boring old North Sea. Meanwhile, Bell Helicopter is expanding in India with a plan to open a pilot training facility next year. Bell also said it will soon offer fractional ownership there. Right now, there are only 120 helicopters flying in India, but that's changing fast. India's Army Aviation Corps is ready to buy 197 helicopters, and Bell is competing with Eurocopter for that contract. If you're listening to this podcast, you might just be the kind of tech-savvy pilot that the Air Care Alliance is looking for. The ACA, a nationwide league of volunteer flying groups, is looking for help in bringing its members into the computer age. If you'd like to join ACA's technology committee, go to AvWeb's Thursday issue online for more information and links. For more details on these and other stories about a Canadian airline caught spying and a military version of a light sport aircraft, go to AvWeb.com and click on the link for Newswire Complete Issue. And if you'd like to comment on any of our stories, as always, just send us an email to audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast this Monday, June 5th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for downloading us.